Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. This is your advanced team.
Bill.
Naomi.
Doris, inviting you to join us as we continue discussing Ariel Xing, table tennis's rising star.
Okay, everybody, we are on day two of our sports article. You can find it on pages 42, 43, and 44 in your advanced magazine, and it's a fascinating story about this young table tennis star.
Absolutely. We had a great introduction yesterday to Ariel Xing, and we learned a little bit about her and her mornings, how she gets up early and starts practicing right away. She is very dedicated.
And in our discussion, we also learned that Naomi said she wasn't a very good ping pong player. She said that yesterday.
You remember that?
I remember that, Naomi. But, you know, we could practice a little.
Really?
That
would be fun. You know, actually, our table here in the studio might work well.
It's pretty big, yeah.
You know, Doris,
what do you think,
you got
Bill?
Me thinking about that. Why don't we put a table tennis table down in the basement?
You're going too far, Bill.
Come on.
Going too
far. We got some room.
Bill always goes a little
too
far.
Yeah, he does. That's right. But, you know, it's very interesting because this girl, even though she lives in America and she has parents the Chinese background, they still believe in a lot of these values of helping your child develop their best. This is the way all Americans feel, too. Everybody wants their kids to be the best. Isn't that true all over the world?
Of course. And I think parents do have a lot of different ways that they try to nurture their children and help provide for them and encourage them. And so you do see different examples of how parents try to support their kids. One of the things we found out yesterday is that Ariel Xing is an only child.
I know. You know, with only child, that's one thing. I don't think my mother could have handled it because she had eight kids.
Right.
She couldn't, you know, do all that for one. But, you know, sometimes with one child, they get a lot of special attention.
Well, yeah, they do. And the parents, you know, will make some really big sacrifices here, some major changes in their life. And I think the principle here, and it is true in all cultures, is that parents want to see their children supersede or exceed them. They would love to see their children do better, rise higher than them. And that's why the parents are willing to make such sacrifices.
What I think is good about these parents is that they realize that this is what their child is interested in. They didn't tell her, oh, no, you can't play ping pong. You can't play table tennis. We want you to be a doctor or a nurse. Mm. Forget it. You know, they are letting her go along with what she wants. And I think that's good, too, isn't it?
Right. When they saw that she was interested, they were able to they kind of had the freedom to support her in a very impressive way. We talked yesterday about how they actually bring in coaches from China to America to live in their home with them and help Ariel train. They also added a special practice room for her to their home.
Well, let's find out a little bit more about her and how she handles this kind of life by reading today on page 43. We'll take the first section.
Ariel's first stop is a club with nine tables and more than a dozen badminton courts. One of her numerous personal coaches is waiting to begin the workout. Their shots zip back and forth with blurry speed. Ariel never stops moving, bouncing, trying to stay in position so that, even on wide balls, she can maintain a compact, powerful swing. The coach exhorts her in Chinese, insisting that she transition quickly from offense to defense, adapting to the nuances of each point. Good players are trickier, Ariel says. They can change their tactics fast. The drills continue for 2 hours. She banks as many as 25 to 30 hours of training each week before it comes time for another session with a different coach at a club down the road. Along the way, she stops to wolf down a turkey sub. Two of my many talents, she says with a grin, eating and sleeping.
So yesterday we started off with Ariel's morning. We explained how she got up at 7 a.m. to start practicing and then went to school, worked hard at school until 1 p.m., and then heads for afternoon training sessions. Well, today we begin with those training sessions and we have a look at how her afternoon unfolds, how it happens.
Yeah, we learned yesterday she's attending school until 1 p.m. and then she's heading for these sessions. And the first place she goes to is a club that has 9 tables. That would be table tennis tables and more than a dozen badminton courts.
Now, there are a lot of different places where people can do this. I know even in England, I saw a lot of sports clubs and kids would go there after school. And all over the world, people do have these places where you can go and practice sports.
That's right. And so not only do you have good resources as far as good equipment and space to practice, but you also are around other people who are also practicing. And so I think that can be encouraging as well, because you're not on your own. You're not stuck there.
And she has more than just one coach. It says one of her numerous personal coaches. So she has more than one person helping her. So this way, she's got everybody looking at doing things the right way. I hope they all agree on the treatment, the way she's supposed to do it, you know. But she begins her workout and she begins practicing.
Yeah, so we're finding out here. I want to mention one thing as far as numerous personal coaches. They've got the one live-in coach that they've got a bedroom
sometimes,
set up for.
Not all the time, just for sessions.
But then they would have another personal coach. Usually they might be like somebody who works there at the club. They're going to hire for maybe an hour on a daily basis. So that's why she would have several different coaches. And this coach is then going to help her with some of the shots she practices.
Yeah, I think those live-in coaches just come over before contests and things. I don't think they live there all the time. They just have this room so that they can come and stay. I don't think she has somebody there all the time.
It sounds that way. And when we say numerous personal coaches, again, we don't mean she has 8 full-time coaches just waiting for her every need. You know, they're not following her around all day. We mean that, again, her parents hire them, you know, for a session. And so one of her coaches is waiting to begin the workout. Now, when I do a workout, it usually involves some weights. It might involve some running. Here, the workout is very focused on table tennis.
Yeah, and we see that she's practicing her shots, and they're zipping back and forth with blurry speed. So, you know, it's traveling very fast. That is to zip. And I'll tell you what, if you ever watch ping pong on television, it's really hard to follow the action. Where's the ball?
Well, and you never stop moving because you hit the ball and then they're going to hit it back and you have to go back and forth, especially just 2 people playing. If there's 4, it's a lot easier because then you have somebody else covering one side of the table. But when you're just playing with 2 people, you do have to zip around the table quite a bit.
That's true. And I really like how the author wrote this, just explaining Ariel never stops moving, bouncing, trying to stay in position. You can kind of picture her just, you know, popping around the table and just being as ready and working so hard. It's impressive, I think.
And even when the balls go high up in the air, kind of like wide balls, she can still keep this powerful swing. She just jumps up and hits them back. And she doesn't just hit them lightly. You know, she has this powerful swing no matter how the balls come back to her.
Yeah. Now, we say a compact, powerful swing. It's a matter of staying under control. You can't just have this big swooping arm movement, one that takes too long. And then also, you have to keep it compact so you can maintain your balance to be able to move to the next shot.
Right. So no matter where that ball comes back to her, what end, how high, how low, she is right there ready for it.
Now, this one here, talking about this coach, he tells her, he explains to her, he says in Chinese. So I wonder whether, you know, everybody speaks Chinese in that club or not, because how can he exhort her in Chinese?
Well, the coach probably is one of the ones that they have from China. And, of course, it's just more natural for the coach to exhort her in Chinese. Easier to give her instructions that way.
But she was born in America, so she had to learn Chinese, too.
That's right. So she speaks several languages as well, it sounds like. You will notice that at the bottom of page 43, we see a picture of the American Olympic team that Ariel herself is on. And you will notice that these kids are of Asian descent. So even in North America, often sports they become more popular based on sort of their tradition. Mm-hmm. And so if this is something her parents were already familiar with, they're more likely to help encourage her to take it up as well.
I like that photo we have of her in the top of the page here. She looks like she's really putting herself into it, and she's excited and saying, come on, you know. Don't you like that picture, Bill?
That shows the intensity of mm-hmm. a game. The points, the single points can get very intense when you watch them.
So. Right.
Now, the coach is mm-hmm. insisting that she transition quickly from offense to defense.
Right. There's a different way of playing. One is to hit the ball back, and another is to keep the other people from getting scores.
Cool. Right. So if you're on offense, you are kind of attacking. If you are on defense, it means you're sort of protecting yourself. And so she's transitioning. She's switching, shifting again back and forth from one to the other. And we use another word that means shift or transition is adapting. So she changes.
And she's adapting to the nuances of each point. Nuances is a great word because it just means something that's like a small, slight difference that we need to be able to pick up on.
Just a shade of a difference, just a little bit, right?
And to be a very good player, you have to notice the slight, small differences in your opponent, in the shots, so you can adjust appropriately.
And she's noticed, too, when she plays with all these people, that the better the players are, the trickier they are. Because, you know, they'll hit a very slow ball, and then all of a sudden a fast ball. They don't just always hit it the same way. They get a little bit tricky. You think they're going to have it go far, and then it goes short on the table. So those good players are pretty tricky.
Right. That word tricky can be, again, a little bit negative, but not necessarily. It sort of gives this idea that people are very clever, and they maybe give you one impression when they're about to do something else. Of course, in sports, it's great if you can be a little bit tricky because you want to not be predictable.
Yeah, you want to keep your opponent off balance. So.
And just think how long that goes on. These drills can last for 2 hours. She's really putting herself into it. And she counts on, or she banks as many. She puts in 25 to 30 hours of training every week.
So you're looking at probably almost, I would say, 4 hours a day.
Yep. I like the use of this verb. She banks that many hours because to me, it reminds us that actually practice really is an investment, you know, and it's sort of like putting money in the bank. Every hour that you exercise or that you practice something, you're improving. And it's sort of like you're collecting up all that training. That's what she's doing.
Okay, so there she finishes this one session, 2 hours with the first coach at that club, and then it comes time to move on to another session with a different coach at a different club down the road.
Whoa.
But she's kind of hungry after 2 hours, so she eats very quickly. When you wolf down something, you don't chew it very well. You're not supposed to wolf down your food. But when you're really hungry, you just can't wait and take big bites and you eat it quickly.
Right. And her food of choice is a turkey sub sandwich. Now, that sounds like a great choice. It has a really good variety of nutrients. It's very well balanced. And turkey is one of the healthiest meats. So she may be eating on the run, but she is still trying to make good choices.
But she has a good sense of humor because she said, well, that's two of my many talents because I can eat and I can sleep. And Bill, I think you got those two talents.
Yeah, they are. They're a couple of my top talents, of course.
Eating and sleeping, right? As well as teaching, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I love that she says that. It makes me really like her to hear her say something like that. It seems to me like she's able to laugh at herself a little bit, which is so important. When people don't take themselves too seriously and they're able to say, well, I'm trying
my best. That's what I'm good at, not just playing ping pong. I'm good at eating and I'm good at sleeping.
Right.
She's probably tired tonight. Well, let's read on. Read the next section.
An early prediction. Ariel's mother, Xin Jiang, grew up in the Henan province of China. Later, she immigrated to the United States and married a fellow computer engineer from Taiwan named Michael Xing. They frequented a table tennis club near their home. One night, they could not find a babysitter and brought along their 7-year-old daughter. Ariel showed immediate potential, catching the eye of the club's coach and prompting a brash prediction from her mother. On the drive home, Jiang told her husband, when Ariel makes the Olympics, we will pay for the grandparents to go, but what about the other relatives? Michael Xing recalls, I thought she was a little crazy. But within a few years, Ariel began rising through the junior ranks, developing a two-wing attack. hitting hard from both the forehand and backhand sides as she traveled the nation and then the world to compete.
So like so many people that immigrate to the United States or go there for school, sometimes they find their husband or wife there. Their mother is from Hunan, China, and her father from Taiwan. And he was a computer engineer. So that's probably why they're living in Silicon Valley, in that area where she lives. It's right near, you know, all of the big Apple and Google and all those companies, right?
Yeah, they're in – actually, they live in San Jose, California. Yeah. So they're right there in Silicon Valley. I'm not sure. I think they might have met in school.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very typical story that they would meet and have a lot to share, a lot of interest to share.
Right. It says that her mother grew up, as you said, in China and then married a fellow computer engineer. So we learn that when we use that word fellow in that way, we mean that they are both computer engineers. So I might say, oh, I met one of my fellow English teachers yesterday. It's what we both do.
You didn't marry him yet.
Okay. No.
But anyway, she said one night then they found out that they couldn't find somebody to take care of their daughter because they liked to go out and have a good time together. And they enjoyed not just going to the movies and sitting there. They enjoyed sports, which is nice.
Right. And they explain it this way by saying there on line 23, they frequented a table tennis club near their home. Now, that's a fun way to put it. If you frequent somewhere, it just means you go there often. We usually use frequent as an adjective to say or even as an adverb where we say, oh, I do that frequently. But you can also frequent a place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they like to go there. That was their date night, maybe go play table tennis. And well, one night they couldn't find a babysitter for their young daughter, so they brought her along.
Sure, yeah. That's a good idea. I think it's good for kids to do stuff with their parents anyway. And she took on to the sport quite quickly.
She did. Now, this is something else about North America, that you always need to get a babysitter. Especially if you're an immigrant, you probably don't have much family around to help take care of your kids. And so if you go out, you hire someone to stay and watch the kids. Well, if you can't find them, what do you do? Do you just give up on this date? Well, they said, nah, we'll bring her along. And that was a good move.
But she showed immediately that she was interested, and she had potential. To have potential means that you have a good possibility of doing well at something.
Yeah, and she had immediate potential. I could just picture this. Here's this little 7-year-old girl, and maybe she just picked up a paddle and, like, instead of being clumsy, just naturally put it in her hand and was able to just start hitting ping pong balls, which is actually – not normal. Most people would struggle with this in the beginning, but I guess she picked it up in the beginning.
Well, and she caught the eye of the club's coach. When you catch someone's eye, you get the attention of them. They are noticed. Mm-hmm. So you caught somebody's eye means they noticed you.
Right. This sounds like a scene from a movie where the little girl, you know, walks in and picks up the table tennis racket. No one really notices at first, but then you can just picture the coach from across the room going, oh, wait, what's going on over there? And running over. And so I think it's a great story. And sure enough.
Don't you think it's interesting, though, that the mother immediately says, right, oh, my daughter's going to be a star. I mean, just right off just like that. That's what mothers do. You know, they see more potential in you sometimes than you really have. But that's kind of encouraging,
bless
too.
Bless them. I'm so glad they do. I think that really encourages us to work
right.
hard. But our article says that it prompted or it it started, basically, it gave the mother a cue to say something. And what she said was a brash prediction.
Yeah, brash. When you're brash, you're very bold. You're not shy. You might even offend some people by being so bold. And well, the mother was proud. And she wasn't going to hold back on what her prediction was.
And she even thought about it so much that on the way back, she said that to her husband. She says, well, when she's an Olympic star, and he probably kind of smiled because this little girl, you know, is quite a ways from being an Olympic star. But the mother already saw the future of her, and she said, what about the relatives? Are they going to go get to see her? The grandparents get to see her?
I love that.
I think the husband kind of smiled at that, don't you think?
Yeah, I just love that the mother's concern is not how will we get her to the Olympics. It's how will we get all the family to go and see her.
And I picture Michael Singh driving the car saying, yes, dear, dear, we'll take care of that later.
It's a little crazy.
He's probably thinking, well, we know what he thought. He says, I thought she was a little crazy.
But later on, they could see they probably took her more often. And before long, then she started really playing seriously. And they could see this. She became a rising table tennis player.
Right.
The junior rank. So you start the lower level, the bigger level, and higher level.
Right. We already called her a rising star. But when we talk about someone rising through the ranks, it's this idea that they go up to one level, and then they continue to the next level, and they just keep taking steps up.
You know, I thought it was interesting that she was what they call a two-wing attack. Now, I like to hit the ball very hard when I play tennis, but my backhand is not very good. Backhand is when you do the ball backwards instead of hitting it forwards. You use it backwards, and that's hard.
Backhand.
Are you good at backhand?
I actually am pretty good at backhand.
Really?
Backhand normally is a defensive shot where you're just recovering, you're responding to the other player.
You're pretty good at that,
player.
Bill.
Yeah. Most of the time, backhand is not going to be as strong as a forehand.
Well, remember, we have to train Naomi on that.
We're going to get some training sessions since we get that table went down in the basement.
Yeah, that's right.
My forehand is not great, but my backhand might actually be better than my forehand. But the thing is, with most people, it's very unbalanced. You're pretty good at one of them, and maybe you are much better at the other, something like that. But in Ariel's case, this two-wing attack, she's like a bird. She can do both ways, no problem.
She was very good, right. And she traveled around and then all over the world to compete. Now, in order to do this, it would affect her school life quite a bit. And there's a little section here on page 43 that talks about her school life. Because, you know, when you're going to be traveling around, it's going to affect your school life, isn't it?
Definitely. And I think this is, again, a nice little story. Well, first of all, we begin by explaining that public schools dislike Ariel's travel schedule. Of course, she has to skip a lot of classes. She has to have special permission to have a different kind of schedule than most kids her age. And so most schools won't be so likely to encourage that.
So let's find out what she did here. There's a little part that you could look at here that we didn't read yet. It's just on page 43. Do you want to read that, Naomi, about her school life?
Well, like I said, public schools dislike Ariel's travel schedule, so she enrolled at the private Valley Christian High last year. A counselor watches her shift focus the instant she steps on campus. Usually you see people go one way or the other, all sports or all academics, Eric Ellefson said. I've never seen a student like this before. The change is so complete that classmates were startled when a documentary crew followed her around. Many had no idea she was an elite athlete. They just thought of her as a smart kid who misses a lot of school.
That's pretty interesting. Now, I know something about that school. It's a very good school, very special school. They even have TV training in high school. And it's because it is a private school. It happens to be a Christian school. Mm-hmm. But they give you all sorts of special training. And you'll notice here that the counselor watched her. So they don't just say, okay, come to our school and just take their money. They have people watching these kids to see that they're doing well. Mm-hmm. She had a counselor. And so it shows that she got a lot of special help from that school.
Well, being a private school, they're going to have a little bit more flexibility in a lot of things. The schedules, arranging her academic schedule, the attention that she can get. That's why the large public schools disliked her travel schedule. They're less able to shift classes around and accommodate individual students.
So, but that is a very special school. They're not all that good. That's a very special one. I'm glad she went there.
Definitely.
Well, yeah.
Again, she has a counselor paying attention to what she's up to and looking at what's going on, mm-hmm. and he has a comment to make about her.
Yes. Eric Ellefson says, usually you see people go one way or the other. All sports are academics. I'll tell you what. I see that a lot in America and also here in Asia, where when there's a talent in athletics, the parents, the children go too far and they only focus on the sports. And unfortunately, what that does is that sets a lot of kids up for failure later in life because they spend all their time practicing. And again, I go back to what I said, 1 in 10,000 athletes actually can make a living off of this stuff.
Well, and when they are successful, it's big news. Let's go to today's feature.
What are you reading, Jack?
The sports pages, of course. You know me. I have to stay up to date on all the scores and big games.
Ah, yes, the sports pages. Is there anything interesting in there?
Actually, something quite different. There's an article on this amazing young table tennis player, Ariel Singh.
Oh, I saw her on TV last week. She was playing in a tournament in Dallas, Texas. Zipping around the table, whizzing serves at her opponent.
Can you believe she's only 16 years old?
Yes, the announcers were talking about her balancing act of intense practicing and being a full-time student. And she gets straight A's in all her classes.
The article says Ariel started playing table tennis when she was only 7 years old. She caught the eye of a coach at a club in San Jose and has been training ever since.
Unfortunately, table tennis players in America don't make a lot of money. That's too bad since she's so talented.
I know. The best they can hope for is to get outfitted with some free clothing from one of the equipment manufacturers.
Maybe that's why she hunkers down on her studies. She realizes that she must prepare for her future after table tennis.
You're right, Mary. Here, you can read this article about Ariel Singh.
Thanks.
Okay, so that's very interesting, and we're going to have more interesting things coming tomorrow.
Well, we've learned a lot about her practicing and her academics, but tomorrow we're going to learn about some of her international experience.
So we'll see you tomorrow then.
Right, and don't forget that before that, if you miss us, you can still find us on StudioClassroom.com. Be sure to check in, watch the Topic Talks videos, answer some discussion questions, leave us your comments, and maybe answer some other people's questions on the English Corner. We always love to hear from all of you.
See you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.